Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Throughout the week, throughout the day. Say it together. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love that we might sing for joy and be glad all. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hand. Our branch off verses, Acts chapter 2, verse 17, and Acts to 21, and then Acts 1, 8. And these verses have been chosen because they sort of umbrella all that we're going to be teaching in these next couple months. But it says, in the final unfolding days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit on those who are serving me, men and women, old and young, and they will declare the word of the Lord. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And everyone who receives their message will be saved. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses in all of Judea and Samaria and all to the ends of the earth. Father, we thank you that we are in a very special time. And Lord, we're going to talk about doorways in just a moment. But we thank you, Father, for what you're doing. And we stand with you to see it realized. So bless our time this morning. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church across this nation. And we claim that revelation in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I thank the Lord that Christ has set us free. I'm going to be speaking a message. Turn to somebody and say, it's okay to have fun in church. We're no longer talking about religion or any of the stuff that happens. We said in 2017, we move from God needs you to God using you. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you, so listen up today. 2017, we declared, as God brought the revelation to us, that this is the year of breakthrough. And that word breakthrough has been used by many of the prophets that are proclaiming the declaration for 2017, the year of breakthrough. And I gave our focus has been, God, and my line is off again, no matter how hard I tie, that little line's got a mind of its own. But the focus this year is going to be God releasing the power of God through your life. I had mentioned last week that 2017 represents something. And for those that are online that have not heard, and thank the Lord for all of the responses that we're receiving online. But 2017, in the Hebraic language, every number represents something. And we saw that 20 represents redemption. And if you line that up with the prophetic words of what we've been teaching about in these last months, especially this year, to redeem means to take something from and to bring them into. When you have coupons, what you do, those coupons you take to your, whatever you take it to, that and you redeem that coupon. Most of the time, in terms of redemption, Jesus redeemed us from our imprisonment. Redemption is sort of like a Bible theological talk, theological speak. But what it means is that God has, this year especially, when we are saved, we are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are saved. But how many know that there is a continual ongoing redemptive process of taking us from the stuff that we are stuck into and to the stuff so that we can be free? Redemption is essentially a freeing. And how many people want to be free? How many people have got their act together this morning? Good. Then we're going to have an altar call for we don't have it. We don't. It's an ongoing process. And if you think you got it the good today, just wait till tomorrow, because it's a perfecting process until Jesus can look in. Just like the goldsmith, they put gold in a pot and they heat it. How many of you know the heat is tribulation and difficulties and challenges? Heat in the Bible represents challenges. It represents challenges. It represents fertilizer. And for those who don't understand what I'm saying, we say that fertilizer happens, right? That's the Christian version of it. But what happens in that, when the goldsmith, he'll take the raw gold and he'll put it on the in a pot on the fire. And what happens is that the heat causes the dross, which is the impurities, to come to the surface. Can you know? But you understand where I'm going? You are pure gold. You're gold. You're not pure. So what happens is the Lord allows the circumstances to bring the heat, the situations, the challenges of life, to bring things to the surface for us so that he can, by his Holy Spirit, come and take off the dross. The dross. And then what happens, what he's looking for, and what the goldsmith is looking for, is that after that process over and over again, so he can look into the gold liquid and see his reflection. That's what the Lord is doing to us. He's purifying us, taking off the stuff, the impurities, the stuff that keeps us from living in our full potential, until he can look down and see Jesus. When the Lord looks down at us, what we do is we reflect Jesus. Amen. That's a neat type. That's what the whole process of redemption is all about. And then, to my surprise, initially, the 17 represents, as you remember, for those who were here last week, it represents overcoming power, overcoming the enemy. This year of 2017, it's going to be a year where the powers of the enemy are broken. And remember, I told you at the beginning of the year, I speak prophetically. We're not just throwing out stuff here. I'm speaking prophetically of what God is intending to do in your life, in our lives. So it's not a rah-rah and let's just build up everything and go home and take four steps out the door and say, what happened? There is a declaration. And when God declares something, it will be done when we add the amen. Amen. The promises of God are yes unto him and amen unto us. How many know that God wants to answer all our promises? Talk more about, amen. Does anybody? How many people are holding promises of God that you're believing God for? If you're not, come see me, because I'll tell you what you need, where you need God in it. There's things in our lives that God has promised purposely that we need to believe him for. Things that he wants us to believe him for. Things that we will not see realized without his help. Amen? How many know that you are inadequate for your situation? Right? How many people feel that's the truth? And people say, oh, my gracious. And what the world does, it goes into panic. And God says, no, that's the way it's supposed to be. I made you inadequate. So when the devil comes and tries to beat you up, you say, amen, I agree with that. I am inadequate. Soon as you start getting adequate, that's when you get into trouble. Amen. That's why people who are challenged or go through challenges, what they do is they run to God. And as soon as the challenges begin to be realized or whatever, all of a sudden the pressure's off. I've seen it for 40 years. Seen it in you, some of you. No looking around. But that's the way we are. It's human nature. When there's problems, we want God, help me, help me. And when God says, okay, and as soon as it begins, the pressure begins to get off a little bit, then there's not, well, you know, I'll catch you later. Everything's fine. So the Lord allows circumstances of life. And what it does, it drives us back. But that's not the way the Lord wants us to be. I told you before, the greatest challenge in your life, the most dangerous time in your life, is not when you're going through problems. It's when your problems seem to be resolved. That's the time. It's easy to seek after God when the challenges are there. But unless you have established a pattern within your life, it's not about getting things resolved. It's about honoring God with your life. And there is a sacrifice of praise. Praising God when you don't feel like it, when things are overwhelming, confessing God's faithfulness, when things are just beyond your control. But there's something else. It's a sweet fragrance to the Lord when everything is going good. To come back and say, Lord, I want you to know every good thing came from you. And I'm just worshiping, I'm taking time away, not in a prayer of desperation, but in a time of praise and worship and adoration and thanksgiving. Let me tell you something. When you allow the Holy Spirit to develop that within your life, you got it covered. Because you know what happens? These problems are not the same as you evaluated them. The revelation that God, in the praise and the worship time, when you bring that revelation of thanksgiving into the situation where the challenge is, those problems are not the same. We don't lean on our own understanding. Somebody say amen or something. I'll tell you what, we'll do some spiritual Pentecostalism right now, okay? Just nod your head. We'll start with that. Overcoming the enemy. Also, complete victory. God wants us complete victory. I'll share a little bit more about it. He wants, and here's the word, another word for 17 is breakthrough. We'll be talking about that today. The prophetic word that I've shared, and those online who have not heard it, and those here, hear it again. The word, the prophetic word for 2017 is, this is from the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. It is the time for the breakthrough to victory. There will be a significant increase in miracles and signs and wonders. As far as I'm concerned, we started off with a sign and a wonder on the inauguration on Friday. The anointing will be so strong that it will break significant and long-standing strongholds that have plagued people's lives. For the Lord says, my people are entering into an overcoming season that will produce great breakthroughs. I didn't get that word from breakthrough from me. Great breakthroughs. For the enemy has come in like a flood. But I, the Lord, am releasing great victories. I will stem the tide of violence. Hallelujah. I will bring peace to the land. I will bring an awakening. I will release revival. Many workings of miracles that are creative in nature will be seen in hundreds of churches across the world. The greatest harvest of souls the earth has known is upon us. Every one of those things, every one of the areas. How many know that's a good word? I've been at times when the Lord gives a prophetic word and he says, dig in because there's a storm a-coming. This is a time, this year of 2017, the Lord has said, rejoice. I'm about ready to move and begin to set the victorious answers to your prayers. You're about ready to see the demonstration of my power And the violence and the contention and the division and all the upheaval and the redefining of our moral stature and structure is going to be redefined. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. That's right. Jesus didn't come to set this world upside down. He came to set the world right side up. And that's our position too. We are to be his instrument to reestablish the correct order of what it should be. Thank you. To agree, saying anything, it shall be done by my Father. Which is, so anything you want to happen, you just say amen to it. Amen. How many people want to be blessed? Amen. Good. I'm trying, testing you out. We began releasing the miraculous in 2017. This process, as I said, that 2017 has presented us with dramatic change in the spiritual dynamics of this country. We have a doorway, and I'll talk about that. 2017 has changed the spiritual atmosphere, and you can feel it, my friends. You can feel it. And you know how you can feel it? Because you see the stirring of the commotion that's going on. I have no problems with the ladies or women's or whatever you want to call them, females, ma'am, or anyway. I have no problem with what happened on Saturday, yesterday, and the march. I have no problem whatsoever. I encourage people. But when it gets into violence and when it gets into contention and does, then we're talking about disruption. Right. When you see commotion, when you see upheaval, when you see destruction, when you see things being torn apart, that's the way the enemy works. Right. He brings a spirit of division. He brings a spirit of confusion. He brings a spirit of commotion and whatever and stirs up things. They have all the right. I have all that. We can't do it, by the way. As Christians, we're bigots and homophobes and all those other kind of things. And I told you that Christians are the most persecuted people on the face of this earth. And I was thankful that I heard God being mentioned during the inauguration because we didn't hear that very much last presidency. And I'm not putting down Obama or his cabinet for sure. I've been saying it over and over again. It is spiritual. It is spiritual, not political. When you are forced to be manipulated into the political genre, that mindset or placed into that mindset, then you will be the bigot. You will be the person that is anti or racist or whatever it might be. And surprisingly, as I've said, we the church, we folded to the attacks and consequently set down our mandate to cover this to make sure that the United States is covered spiritually. And what would happen, we wanted to be nice. We didn't want to contend. Remember, at the initial stages, at the beginning of the year, I talk prophetically. So I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the enemy, by the way. Amen. What's happened, we took on the political correctness. And what we do is we were neutralized. And we gave over our rights. We gave over our definitions, the structure that the Constitution set up. We gave over our definitions of marriage. We gave over our children. We gave over everything that most of the things that set the structure for God to be able to move in this nation. And we succumb the political correctness. How many know that that's political? When you're doing things politically correct, you're manipulated by the political definition of things. But when you see things the way we're supposed to see things in the spiritual realm, recognizing that it is either of God or not. And I told you before, people ask me, who are you going to vote for? I said, I'm going to vote for the one that's as closest to looking to God Almighty to be able to deal and direct with the presidency. And thank God, I evaluated them very carefully. I'm really into this stuff. Ask my kids, ask my wife, because I'm dealing with it from a spiritual perspective. And I don't want to be nice. I will be kind. I will be like Jesus. But I'll tell you, when it comes to the spiritual atmosphere that is manipulating us, we will not be able to politically correct, ask the devil to leave, to back out of our nation. You can't nice your way against the enemy. He will try everything he possibly can and take more and more. And what we did is we yielded and more in this nation. Well, you know the results. But it's time now that we recognize that there is a doorway that has been opened for the church to change the direction of this nation. And if the church doesn't do it, you know why? It was wonderful to see the National Prayer Service yesterday. And it was wonderful. And they had most of the religions of the world there. Buddhists, Islam, Baha'i, on and on. Protestants, Catholics, Pentecostals, everyone was there. It was fantastic. And there was an awesome sense of God's presence. Yeah. An awesome sense of God's presence. And it's wonderful. One of the scriptures says, how glorious and how wonderful it is when the brethren gather together in unity, for that's where God proclaims his blessing. And it's wonderful. There's only one thing different, one thing that is not understood. And I bless what went on, and I'm thankful for it. And it was unity and prayers and different languages and whatever. But according to Scripture, there is only one religion that can defeat the powers of hell. There is only one religion that can defeat the powers of hell, and that is Christianity. And I'm not a bigot. And I'm not small-minded. Either God's word is word, or it's not. And you can't defeat the power unless you have the power of Jesus Christ in your life, in your heart, and functioning by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not politically correct. It really isn't. It's very small-minded. Well, then you have to say that Jesus was very small-minded. Because he says the only way to the Father is what?
Through
him. And boy, have I had some pushback on that over the years. I didn't say it. I didn't say that the enemy cannot be. The enemy is defeated how? By the blood of the Lamb. You can't psychoanalyze, you can't manipulate, you can't out-talk, you can't out-power, you can't out-politically correct the enemy. There's only one way. There's only way. By the blood of Jesus Christ, who defeated the powers of the enemy on the cross. And if you believe that, then you have power to be able to deal with the spirit of the enemy. And every one of these other religions do not believe that, other than Christianity. You want to know how to evaluate a religion? What place, this is the bottom line, this is just extra. You don't have to, we're not charging for this. The only way, the way to evaluate a religion is what place do they place Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was not just a prophet. He was not just a man, a good man walking. He wasn't just all the other things. Who is Jesus Christ? That's what's going to be evaluate the who's in the book of the Lamb. Who is he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Now, that doesn't sound open-minded. Well, that's exactly what we've been. We've been open-minded and our brains have fallen out. Turn to somebody and say, if you don't hear anything else, not about the brains, but about the position of Jesus, that's the truth. And where is he in your life? And the reason why you have power over the enemy is that you can, you say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And whether you be Protestant, whether you be Baptist, whether you be Catholic, whether you be Episcopalian, whether you be those foundational churches, Lutheran, they accept Jesus Christ as God Almighty, died on the sin, was resurrected, and now lives to redeem his mankind. And if you can say amen to that, then you have got an assignment. A doorway has been opened for the church to reestablish the direction of this nation. The door is being opened for a move of the Holy Spirit. I have watched, and you can't believe, well, you can believe. Let me just stretch your imagination, your beliefs. How the power of the Lord is moving over the nations of Islam, the different areas of the Buddhists. It's amazing what's happening. And they're not converting to Islam. The Buddhists are not converting to Islam. The Islam are not converting to Buddhists. What they're doing is they're converting to Christianity. It's amazing. Now what's happening, those who have no focus or whatsoever or not even seeking the Lord, we're seeing many of those proselyting, and that's where we're getting ISIS and all the rest of them. Because the enemy comes in by deception, and many are being deceived. But Christianity is growing leaps and bounds because the Spirit of the Lord is being released. And we have that opportunity. What I said about preparing and what the church, what the pastors and the teachers have been talking about preparing in 2016, now God is going to show us the implementation process. Turn to somebody and say, right next to you, looking right in the eyes, say, do you know that you are a mighty warrior? I didn't say whether you felt like a mighty warrior or not. But I'm going to get you there. That's my idea, my desire. The Lord says, has redirected the downward spiral of this nation. And that's what I've been talking about. The United States will again impact the world. And it's supposed to be. God created us to impact the world. As I said, there's a prophetic understanding of doorways. A doorway is an opportunity to move from one place to the other. If you don't have a doorway, you're not going to get into the, you can't, you're not going to be able to walk, knock down the wall. Many scriptures about it, but essentially it means an opening, a portal, a gate. When the door is closed, my friends, you're not going to be able to get through. The doorway does not always remain open. When I talk about this, when I talk about the spiritual or the prophetic doorway, God says, now is the time. Now is, and when you walk through that prophetic doorway, you enter into a new anointing of the Holy Spirit. But I say this, that doorway will not always stand open. It's not an open, there's an open doorway to Christ. There's an open door into his presence, but there is not an open door always for the dynamic of the release of the power of the Holy Spirit. That comes in seasons. And when that doorway closes, not because God wants it to, is because there's no responders, or all of the responders have gone through. Prophetic doorway. And I said what a prophetic doorway was is that it's a time where the Lord releases a special grace and favor to provide the breakthrough and breakout. This can be, as I mentioned, a spiritual doorway, a prophetic doorway was a time where the Holy Spirit is going to move. And whether it can be finances, it can be health, what the prophetic word was, there's going to be release of the miraculous. He didn't have to say that. And for the last 5, 8, 10 years, I never heard a word, and neither was the prophets declaring, that there was going to be release of the miraculous. But now he's saying it. And that's why we pray, let those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And ears don't mean these, the outer ear, it's the inner ear. And I gave a number of examples that we won't go through again. It's online. We are entering into a season where God wants to raise up the church. How many know who the church are, am? You're sitting on it. And I don't mean the chair. You, to release the kingdom of God in and through your lives. And I went through a number of scriptures. Because this one, unless the people out there see a miracle, they will not believe. Jesus came. I've told you over and over again, but they didn't believe until they saw a miracle. And then they try, the hot shots, the religious squad, try to say, you're casting out demons because you are being led by Satan. You cast out demons by Satan. And Jesus came back, hit him right between the eyes and said, what do you mean? What do you mean? If I'm Satan, I want to cast out one of my demons? Why would I cast him out? But he says, and of course, but if I cast it out by God, then who do you say I am? And they went, never mind. That we have been called to such a time as this. 2016, God needs you. 2017, God wants to use you. And the Lord, Acts chapter 14, verse 3 and 4, and the Lord confirmed their message of grace. That's our message, by the way. Let me finish. By enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. Our message is grace. Our message is not condemnation. Our message is not get your act together or you're going to hell. Our message is that God loves you and he cares for you and he died for you. And it's not about religious exercise once you've accepted his life, his death on the cross. It's not about you doing spiritual push-ups or performing all kinds of acts and whatever it might be. It's about you allowing God to love you into wholeness. That's what grace is. God's unmerited favor. God loves you so much that he sent me to talk to you, that he doesn't want you living in that kind of bondage and situations. He sent me here to tell you that he loves you. He sent me here to tell you that he knows the things and the problems and the pressures, and he's heard you asking help. That's the message of grace. And miracles are not just the signs and wonders. Miracles are walking up and telling someone in an intimate way that God loves you and watch tears come from their eyes. That's a miracle. where God reached down and touched someone. He enabled them to do, essentially, he backed them up. I shared with you, and I'm not going to go through it, what we're going to be dealing with this year. How to hear God. How to make decisions. We're going to teach you how so that you don't have to be pressured about things that you have to. I have these things that somehow clutter up the day. How many people have stuff that just comes on, just clutters up the day? By the time you got finished, it's 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever, and say, what, let me tell you, get tongue in cheek, what the hell went on? Right? It's okay to say that when you put it in the right context. What the hell went on? I mean, what the hell happened to my day? Hell did. For you old-time people, if it's petting the cat backwards, hell's in the Bible. And if we don't realize that hell is trying to do everything it possibly can to usurp and to rob and to manipulate your day into a point where all I'm doing is just getting through. I made it through. Well, sometimes that's the way. But let me just tell you, having all kinds of commotion in the situation stir up, knowing that what's going on is a whole lot better than seeing all the commotion. Let me say it. Knowing what's going on and realize that there is a undergirding of strength and ability or whatever behind you that will not overwhelm you is a whole lot better than going through and saying, I don't even know if I'm going to make it through the day. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How to defeat the enemy. Understanding your personal gifts. How to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All these things are equipment for you. And let me tell you something. For us who have been moving in the gifts of the Spirit, understand our spiritual gift. There is a new understanding because it's a new season. There's a new understanding that God's bringing because we have moved through a new doorway. The Lord said for 2017, and you will receive. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And what we have been doing is we've been talking about our cards. How many people have their cards filled out? 1, 2, 3. Well, I'm going to wait until next week. The reason I'm waiting until next week is I want to do it as a part of the service. If you really feel wounded by that, come up and see me afterwards, and I will do it specially for you. But in the meantime, your prayers and your requests have been written. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is more for you to understand. It's more to want you to recognize, but there will be a release in that. And I want to make sure that I want to do this in a service. But in the meantime, you just hang in there. It's God sees what you've written down. And if you don't have a card, get a card. Write it down so that you know. If you don't have a target, you're not going to hit it. And I don't do this. We don't do this as some kind of nice little thing to do. But I was ready this morning. And while I was talking this, that the Lord said at the beginning, I want you to hold it because I want to do something else and it's going to take too much time in the service. How many would rather do anything in God's timing? Because I believe he's going to add a special anointing to it. So, now, I said last week, Jesus' mandate, and for those who were not here, I think this is one of the most important revelation in terms of the direction for the church that I want you to go back and look at. Jesus' mandate in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, and I described, I talked about the what was going on at that particular time. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has, let me tell you something, anyone that does not have the good news is poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Anyone that does not know Jesus Christ is imprisoned, whether they know it or not. and to recovery for the sight of the blind, spiritual blindness as well as physical blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And I said this, that John, I said this, Jesus, I quoted Jesus, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. I've called you to be so secure in me, to understand who you are in Christ, that what you're going to do is produce the fruit of what it, of our connection. You're in my connection, God says. Our connection is going to produce fruit. Fruit that will last, not just and fall off. And as I said, the fruit that the plant produces is not for the plant. My relationship with the Lord, your relationship with the Lord, is to be so dynamic that it produces something. Amen. Come on, say amen. Amen. Your life in your relationship with the Lord is to produce fruit. Fruit that is that the person that is looking, that is hungry, will pluck and eat. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Our life is not just to have a big plant. Jesus cursed the fig tree. Look good. Fantastic. I mean, here he is, represented Israel. That's a type of Israel. But he walked up to the fig tree, nice big leaves, looking good. Keep it around because it's shady or whatever it might. And he's going through and he's, you're a fig tree. You're not a shade tree. You're a Christian. You're not an exister. You're an overcomer. You're not a hang on by your nails. Where's the fruit? And Jesus said, worthless. Worthless. Now, it's different. He comforts us and encourages us. But that was a type of Israel. They had all the accoutrements of what religion was, had their whole structure, but nothing was being produced by them. And they came back the next tree, next day, and the tree was gone. You have been called to produce fruit. Fruit that will last. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. How's your fruit doing? Because the Holy Spirit is a fruit inspector. Are you walking in love? Are you walking in joy? Are you walking in peace? Are you walking in gentleness? Are you living in self-control? Are you walking in confusion, frustration, sickness, and all the other disses, discouragement? That's an oxymoron. A Christian who is living in that type of life does not produce fruit. And Jesus came. The Jews could not do anything about it. They were exposed. But Jesus says, I give to you the Holy Spirit to help you, to encourage you, to bring revelation that you don't have to walk in that type of situation. I've come, Jesus said, to set the captive free. And those that I set free are really free. So if your marriage, if your health, if your relationship with your kids, if your job situation, if your finances, if your emotional, whatever is an upheaval, I've come to set it right. All I want to do is I want you to walk through the doorway and I will be there and I will have fellowship with you. That's what this is all about. But the wonderful thing about it, God says that, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do even greater things than I. So, as I said last week, good, it's not on you. I just got an email or a text message. Sorry, Pastor, not be able to come to church today. The rain on our side is very strong. He can't hear it, but I just want to let you know how I was interrupted. We have been, our mandate, we have been anointed, empowered to proclaim the good news. That's your job, to release those who are bound up. And I look at last week's message, it's online. I explained to restore sight to the blind, physically and emotionally, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I have come that you may have life, and that life more abundantly. Let me just say it. I like this translation. I have come to bring you, put your name there, that life, to bring you that life, and that life, a life of victory, so that you may be my instruments, bringing my message to the world. The Lord said to this year, and that's the last time I'm going to do reviewing, I think, but we should be up to speed, that this is going to be a year of breakthrough. Now, let me give you the verse. Deuteronomy 11, 24, 22 and 24. If you carefully, this is the proclamation from the Word of God. If you carefully observe all these commands that I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God, to be obedient to His lead and trust Him, then thank you, Lord. Interrupted. Last year, the Lord gave me an incredible revelation. You see, this is the Old Testament conditional format. And it's what most Christians live by. And it's where most Christians fail. Very, very important understanding. The conditional format says, and I taught it for 25 years, more than that, if you will do what I tell you to do, then I will do what I said I will do. And the problem is, we don't do what God tells us to do. We fail, so we don't expect Him to do what He wants to do. And we live saying, well, I don't deserve it, or whatever it might be. So it lives in this whole focus of I've got to do what I'm supposed to do, and I can't, and I fail, and I do all this. So therefore, I don't even expect God to answer. And the Lord told me on a Wednesday evening, one of the classes that we were having, I want you to change it. I want you to preach from this point on. It's not the conditional format the way you understand it, the way you've been teaching it, which most people teach. And that's what it looks like. If you, then I will. It's like God's sitting back. All right, you did that okay. You didn't do that okay. That's it. When you get your act together, come see me, then I'll do what I said I'm going to do. That's wrong. That's a work ethic. It's religion, and it is not what, it's not grace. The Lord says, I want you to tell the people, teach from this point on. If they will, then I can. And there's a whole lot of difference between we getting our act together and God saying, I'm checking it out. I'm waiting for you to do it. And if you don't live up to it, I'm not going to do it. He's saying, do what I've told you to do. And in my grace, then I can do what I want to do. Instead of sitting back and looking at the situation, waiting for you to get your act together, it's like the Lord saying, I want to do everything I possibly can to help you to do it, because when, as you do it, then I can do it. I'm standing ready to release to you the provision that I have for you. Come on, come on. That's a whole lot different perspective than saying, get your act together. He's saying, if you will, then I can. If we see a God that's desperate to try to release His provision to us, it's a whole lot different than seeing a God who is waiting us to get our act together, to jump so many hurdles and do so many push-ups before He's going to even consider what we're doing. So, if you carefully observe the commands that I give to you, and I'm trying to speak very fast, and I get my tongue tangled here. If you carefully observe all these commands that I'm giving to you now, to love the Lord your God, to be obedient, to lead to his lead and trust in him, then I can drive out your enemies, the obstacles, the limitations in your life, the difficulties, the things that you're bound before you, and you will dispose, which is ministry, nations larger and stronger than yourself, the impossibilities, things that are impossible in your life. Every place where you set your foot will be yours, which is breakthrough. If you will, then I can lead you into the deliverance, the provision, the blessing, and the breakthrough that I have for you. I'm going to get through with this. Turn to somebody and say, I think he can do it. But first, in order to believe that God is going to use you more in 2017, you have to set aside the limitations or the boundaries of the past. That's what the key enemy agenda is, to keep you bound in the past, to tell you that you are not going to break through. I use a word picture that would happen. Here we have the inaugural. What happened? All hell was breaking loose. And the next day, all hell broke out loose. The enemy does not want you breaking through. He wants to keep you limited. He wants to keep, that's his agenda. He wants to keep you in a place where you are bound by your saying over here, I can't get my act together. But let me show you a script. What he wants you, we must set aside. And one of the hardest, most difficult things I have to deal with is getting Christians to believe that God's on their side and he's pulling for them and they are not the same. Amen. And the thing about it is they agree with the enemy, not God. We like to take ourselves, we feel more comfortable when we look at our downside rather than speaking what God says. And he's trying everything he possibly can to convince us that you are inadequate. All I'm asking for you is to acknowledge that I'm your source. And I can help a marriage, and I can help you. I can help your with healing and your emotional situation. And the enemy tells everything. And the problem is that we've been living in that rut so long that that's all we know. And when someone like me or the Word or whatever it might be comes speak to you, you go, oh, that's so wonderful, but not me. And God says, realize that's a tactic of the enemy. Before we can see that, in order, we must believe in God's promises for your future in 2017. The scripture references, forget the former things. Do not dwell or be limited by the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Those who have spiritual eyes can see the atmosphere. That's what I've been talking about this last month. The stirring in the spiritual realm. Do you not perceive that? If all you're looking at is politics and all that, you won't see it. But when you look at, because everything is spiritual, then you'll recognize God is on the move. So he says, forget about that garbage in the past. Forget about your definition of you in the past or circumstances. Forget about that garbage of how you defined your marriage or your kids or your job. Behold, I do a new thing. And what we do is saying, God, thank you that I'm not allowed to evaluate from my perspective. Now, I'm going to go much more quicker. So hang in there. I'm going to dumb this down for you, okay? How many people want to have it dumbed down as much as we possibly can? But let me just say this. In order to believe in God through you, you have to believe in God to you. In order to believe in God through you, you have to believe in God to you. And a lot of people are tying God's hands because they don't feel worthy. Or they're back here trying to say, God, I can't get my act together, so I'm tying my... If you believe that, what you'll do is you will, which we're talking about, you will hinder ministry. You will hinder what God wants to do in your marriage, in your life, personally, in your profession. Today's focus is breakthrough. I'm going to dumb it down because we don't have a lot of time, but it makes it easy for you. All right? Three keys. Not five, not four. Three keys to see breakthrough this year. Okay? Number one. How many people want to see breakthrough this year? Everybody wants to see breakthrough this year. Number one, don't limit God. Release God into the situation. Once you evaluate the situation through your own eyes, what you're doing is you're limiting God. Purpose. God, the situation seems overwhelming to me, but I'm not going to eliminate you. What I'm going to do is speak faith into the situation. Say, God, will you intervene in that situation? This is dumbed down, folks, but it doesn't get better than this. Don't limit God. Release him. He's waiting. I've been telling you this for years. He's waiting to be released. He's waiting for permission to get into that marriage, to get into that situation, to get into the circumstances. God, I release you into those situations with my child. When Pat was ill, I say, God, I release you into that situation. And look what God did. He always will honor your prayers. Secondly, and I don't have time for the verses. Secondly, don't limit yourself. Let me make a statement. You must understand that you are not limited by who you are or what you have or what you think you can do or cannot do. In fact, bottom line, I'll say it again, you are inadequate. You can't have a good marriage. You can't be a good employee. You can't do the things that you do. God made you dependent upon him because he's waiting to be able to get into it and show you. Third key is allow the Lord to use you. You want to get blessed? Start allowing God to minister through you. I don't care what it is. Hello, smile when everybody else, give somebody a parking space, do whatever it might. Those are the things that literally cause God to be released. Mark 16:20 says, then the Christians went everywhere and the Lord worked through them. Make yourself available to God. Now I'm praying. Can you write fast? Ready? Right? Ladies, get ready. In order for you to be ready for the next move of God, you must remember one word things or two words, to receive and live in the power of God. These are reminders for you. To receive and to live in the power of God. The Lord did not intend you to be normal. He doesn't want you like the rest of the people. You're the one that walks around with a smile on your face when everybody says that the sky is falling. You're the one that encourages people when everybody else is saying they're doing layoffs and whatever it might be. You're the one that's different. He doesn't want you to be normal. Those are called cattle. What are you called? He wants us to live dynamically. Put it on the edge. Expect God for great things. Also, we are to deal with the situation with an assurance of confidence of overcoming. I don't care what the problem is, honey. We are going to get victory in this situation, and God's going to show us the way. How would you like to live like that? Wouldn't that be cool? How many know you can stand in front of the mirror and tell yourself that too? Self, I want you to pay attention to me. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. And I want you to know you're not allowed to be overwhelmed with this. God's going to make a way where there is no way. And stand there and put your finger on that person's nose and until he believes it or she believes it. Not to just make it, but to abound in every situation in life. I don't want to just make it through. I want to abound. That's what it means to be more than a conqueror, to believe for breakthrough in every area. Now, ladies, could you come? We got plenty of time. To believe for breakthrough in every challenge. I'm believing for it, Lord. I thank you for it. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I know, Lord, that there is a challenge, but I know that we're going to get you're going to give us the answer. It's like last, to face each day of 2017 with a confidence, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Every day getting up in the morning. Lord, Pastor said, this is a year of breakthrough. I want to see breakthrough. And that's what those cards are there for. I want to see breakthrough in my mindset. I want to see breakthrough in every aspect of my life. Let me just tell you, for 2017, faith is not believing that God can, it's knowing that God will. Stand with me. Let's agree together that 2017 will be your year of breakthrough. Anybody, any candidates for that? Breakthrough. And I declare that for us in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you again for the revelation and the desire on your heart to bring us into understanding that you're standing at the door knocking. Anyone who opens that door, and he's not talking to unbelievers, he's talking to Christians. Anyone who opens the door, I will come in and have fellowship with him. I will come in and we will discuss breakthrough together. Lord, I believe it. And we declare it. Thank you for your word this morning. Let it go deep into the hearts of our spirit and those that are online. And we claim it together in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. 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 Ladies.
You give life. You are love. You bring light. To the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, only you. And great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light in the dark. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you all. will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
Just say right now, great are you, Lord. That is a confession of faith. Take your neighbor's hand. Father, I pray for my brother and my sister on my right and left. I thank you, Lord, that you've called them to the kingdom for such a time as this. And there's uniqueness in them, and those listening online, there's uniqueness in them that you need, as we see the breakthrough that you have for this nation individually, each individual church, each individual person. I pray that the words that were spoken today would make their way into their hearts, that they would become a lifestyle, not just a message, but that by your Holy Spirit we will see day by day that transformation take place, where we see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I declare breakthrough in their lives. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord and say, Lord, I declare breakthrough in my life. Say it. I declare breakthrough in my life. Father, thank you that we agree together. Thank you for the release of your presence this week. Thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for health. Thank you for security. Thank you for peace. Thank you for protection. Thank you for every aspect of your nature that you willingly give. And we're ready to receive, Lord. Now, unto him who is able. Everybody say able.
Able.
Let me say it again. Now, unto him who is able. Able. To keep you from falling and to present you faultless to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And all God's confident people said amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Turn around and give somebody a hug. Have an awesome week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.